Welcome back to the Bruce Allen Show with Dad's Point of View. It's time for some spiritual talk with Pastor Drew Sams, who's a teaching pastor at Calvary Community Church in Westlake Village, California. Pastor Drew and his wife, Erica, live in Newberry Park, California, and are the proud parents of, is he two yet? Judah Andrew Sams. Welcome back to the show, Pastor Drew.
Bruce, thanks for having me on. And yes, indeed, my son turned two, and we celebrated, 2 days ago on April 15th on Tax Day.
Well, give me a little update on how he's doing and how the birthday went.
Oh, thanks so much. He's doing great. I can't believe he's already two. As I've been saying, he's two going on 20. And he so wants to drive my car. Not just ride in the car, but drive it. And we gave him some great gifts. And I actually took the day off. We went and just enjoyed and did a whole bunch of things together. It was a lot of fun.
Did he get the car thing yet?
He did, yep. Loves it. Loves it.
That's great. By the way, happy Easter coming up this Sunday.
Thank you so much, and happy Passover to you as well.
I ate some matzah just before the radio show in honor of Passover.
Wonderful.
But listen, I want to ask you, I mean, given that this is a very holy week for both our religions, and given that this week a new movie's come out called Heaven is for Real, I would really like to talk about your thoughts, both personal and from a clergy point of view, from your religious upbringing and education, about life after death. It's been a struggle for me my whole life, and this movie is getting a lot of buzz. And where do you stand on all this? Where do you personally stand, and where does it cause you a struggle, and where does your religion stand?
Yeah, well, you know, this is, as you said, caused a lot of buzz, and this movie, as you know, and many people do know, that comes from a, you know, a New York Times bestseller, and I understand that this young boy who was really the subject of this book, is he's doing a big speaking tour and traveling all over. I've seen even some places local to us where he's coming to speak in this next season, and I'm not qualified to speak at all to his experience, and I know that a lot of people are really drawn really challenged in some ways by his experience. But what I do know is that regardless of what that young boy experienced, I believe that Scripture is very clear that there is life after death, and that there's this beautiful imagery even that Scripture uses that makes the world that we live in, and even the great beautiful things about this world that we enjoy so much, just a shadow of how wonderful and beautiful it's going to be in God's presence for all of eternity. And it also gives me hope in the midst of all the injustice, all the brokenness in this world, that this originally wasn't God's intent, and he's in the process of restoring things back to his original intent, where all things flourish. And to even borrow a Hebrew word, to reestablish his shalom throughout the universe.
Love it. I love what you're saying. For me, a slight spin on the same thing is that if there's no life after death, then there really seems to be no chance for justice. There are too many good people that suffer and too many evil people that don't, that if there's not some ultimate, and I use the word loosely, reward or ultimate justice is the best word I come up with, it almost gives life little meaning. It's my hope that Hitler is not doing very well in whatever afterlife there is, and any number of other evil people throughout history, whereas all the people that have suffered under the hands of such evil people, I hope to God they are living in some kind of heavenly bliss.
Yeah, you know, it reminds me that there's this innate desire for all of humans, no matter what our background is. I've read some research on this, that as humans, we desire for there to be justice. And we have different definitions of what justice might be. But if there's no belief in a just God, which Scripture, both the Hebrew Scriptures and the New Testament or the Christian Scriptures point to, you know, if there is no just God, then we have to take justice in our own hands. And we've seen how even when we try to get justice, if somebody, you know, just a practical example, if somebody wrongs you on the freeway, they cut you off, Let's say you're flying down the freeway, whatever road you're on, and they cut you off. You know, as humans, we want justice. We want to get them back. You know, and people take that into their hands in different ways, and they'll try to, you know, scoot ahead of them and cut them off. But ultimately, our level of justice still never satisfies the deep longing for complete justice that we have in our hearts. I think God's the only one qualified to do that.
What do you have any quotes that you'd like to give us?
Oh boy, there's so many. I mean, on one hand, when you look at the Hebrew scripture and the Christian scriptures all together, there's this beautiful idea that the beginning of God's story in Genesis 1, for example, it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, but even that language there has more to do with, you know, when we refer to the heavens, the skies, the universe, mm-hmm, the, you know, the stars.
Right.
But there's this beautiful imagery of the garden with the first humans and the word shalom, this idea that there's peace, but there's also a wholeness in, you know, the first human's relationship with one another, with God, with creation. There's no brokenness, there's no sadness. And where that begins is actually where the Christian scriptures end, in that same place. But it's not just a garden, but a garden city. There, again, will be that tree of life that Scripture says that mm-hmm. as people come and partake in that to experience life eternal, where there's no sickness, there's no unemployment, there's no politics even, you know, there's no brokenness,
no
bullying, you know, who would have thought that? Yeah. And so that gives me hope, because, and this is the best way I can try to simplify it for my simple mind is, and maybe, I don't know if you were like this at all, growing up, but whenever I would read books, and if I ever got to the scary middle part of the book,
mm-hmm.
I would cheat. I don't know if you ever did this, but I would cheat. I'd flip to the end of the book and I would just look for the name of the main character. I
didn't need to see if they still lived.
Yeah, I didn't need to know all the details. I didn't need to know exactly how it played out. I just wanted to see their name to know that they made it, that they lived. And if I saw the name at the ending, okay, I can flip back. Then I get back to the same scary middle. They're still right in the middle of whatever crisis is going on in the middle of that story. But I had a different outlook. I had a different perspective. I had hope.
Ah, that's very interesting.
And it was a real hope. It wasn't wishful thinking, because I knew it was going to all turn out. Well, I think the same is true when we put our faith in a God who says, God says, I have the last word. I have a word that's beyond what the doctors tell you, what your boss tells you, what your spouse tells you. God gets the final word, and we put our faith and our trust in Him. It's a good word. And so we can take that happy ending, so to speak. We don't know all the details of how that'll play out, but that can change our perspective for today, even through the tough middle stuff where we're struggling with relationships or finances or unemployment or even our health. Ultimately, God, I believe, has the last word in our lives.
I like that. I like that. That's we've actually already run out of time, and there's so much more I'd like to talk to you about this. And there's so many more things I want to talk to you about in person when we can finally see each other again. I'm going to be back in town May 9th. Pastor Drew, we have got to sit down and talk about other things that we can do together to kind of broaden our mutual efforts to put out some good ideas and good thoughts.
Would love that.
In the meantime, where are you currently not blogging?
I'm not blogging at drewsams.com, though I will tell you, when we meet face-to-face, I'll tell you how that's going to be getting up going, but I'm on all social networks at Surfer Drew.
Surfer Drew. Have you been surfing lately?
You know, I was already had my board in the car yesterday. I was going to go after work, and the winds got on it, and I couldn't go. So it's still sitting in my car. I'm waiting for the waves to show back up, and I'm primed and ready.
All right. Well, I look forward to seeing you next month. Everyone else, stay tuned for some closing remarks. We'll be right back. Don't mess with Mr. In Between.